Ezra chapter 1. And before I begin to read in the chapter here, let me just tell you a little bit. I was thinking, Lord, you know, what book in the Bible really kind of, they're all relevant, but what book in the Bible right now just really rings clear with our current, all that we're going through, not all, but some of what we're going through. So I have entitled this, whatever long this lasts, I don't think it's going to be terribly long, Returning from Lockdown. Returning from Lockdown. You know, the lockdown has been over for a while now, if you want to call it that. Of course, in some states and areas, it's back and forth. But it's been over for a while. But my question would be this. As you look back on it, did it cause you to struggle spiritually? It's a fair question. Did not attending services take its toll on your closeness to the Lord? Remember, for 8 Sundays, that's 2 months of Sundays, we did not have normal services here at the church. And over that period of time, I'm guessing some of God's people had an abnormal schedule, and that affected their spiritual well-being. Okay? Now, imagine being out of your church routine, not for 8 weeks, but for 70 years. That's a long time. Imagine not having a building to go to for worship, for singing, for Bible instruction, for even reading from the Scripture for 70 years. Think about that. That is how long the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon, 70 years. That's a long time to be away from the norm of your spiritual influences, if I can say it that way. Now, no doubt some of the Jewish people in Babylon, you know, strive to do all that they could to stay on point in their relationship with Jehovah God. But no doubt as well, that many others probably waned in that same relationship. And people, there is a reason why God built certain spiritual responsibilities and exercises into our relationship with Him. He obviously knows how we are made, and He placed certain duties and certain exercises and responsibilities in the walk of our faith to help us stay close to Him. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, just the simple exercise of certain duties and responsibilities in and of themselves will make us necessarily spiritual, but those duties and those exercises and those responsibilities contribute to our being close to God. And when those things, when our schedule gets interrupted to the point like it did back in March, April, May, June, we actually opened up in May, I guess. But things weren't even normal then, you know. But to the extent those things are shut down, they take their toll on people. They do. Now, during captivity, the Jewish people were kept from a lot of, they couldn't do a lot of the duties and exercises, so they struggled in their relationship with God. During the lockdown here in the spring, God's people were removed from some of the duties and exercises they were in the habit of doing, and as a result, their relationship with God suffered to some degree. So, if your relationship suffered with the Lord during the lockdown, if you found yourself further from God rather than as close to God, have you rebounded? Have you rebounded? If the lockdown had an adverse effect on your relationship with God, have you come back? If the lockdown interrupted some of the duties and responsibilities of your Christian walk that really contributed to your relationship with the Lord, have you restarted those duties? Have you restarted those exercises? The truth of the matter is, those duties are not unessential. They're not. They are extremely essential. It's not just going to church that's essential. That is essential. But it's not just the going to church. It's the exercise of our responsibilities. It's the exercise of our duties that helps keep us strong in our relationship. And it, you know, it's easy to focus all our attention on, you know, oh man, I'm back to church. But the greater need is to make sure that we are back to where we should be with God, not just the church. In fact, I think the Sunday night of May 17th, we had our opening service here in the gym Sunday morning, May 17th. And I think on that evening, May 17th, I'd have to go back and check the archives. But I think my message was entitled, Come All the Way Back. It's not enough just to come back to Bethel. You want to come back to El Bethel. Come back not only to the house of God, but to the God of the house of God. See, that's what we're interested in doing here. So these people were locked down for 70 years. So what can we learn from the Israelites as they returned from, if you will, lockdown for 70 years back to Jerusalem, back to the exercise of their responsibilities and their duties? Well, look at chapter 1, verse number 1. Let's just get some setting here for the chapter and the book. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, and then we'll get to that in just a moment. But I want you to notice in verse 1 that Cyrus's proclamation was a fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. People, God's always going to make good on his prophecy. Now, Cyrus played a part. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But this wasn't the fact that Cyrus was some great spiritual giant. I'm not sure that he was what we would call saved. It's a Gentile king. God used him. But my point is, God used a Gentile king to fulfill prophecy. Okay? Now, the prophecy that he's referring to, turn your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 29. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29, because there's something I want you to see in this. This, to me, is tender. This, to me, shows the heart of God. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 10, okay? This is what Ezra 1:1 is referring to, all right? So when you read chronologically through the Scripture, you're going to get Ezra and go back to Jeremiah 29 and so forth, all right? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10, For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. Isn't that a blessing? God says, people, I'm coming to visit you. And perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. God never intended for them to be exiled in captivity past 70 years. Look at verse 11. I love this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Now, you know, what I see here, what captures my attention, is God's love, God's care, God's desire to be close to his people. And basically, what God had allowed to happen to the Jews was not motivated by a desire to drive them from him. It was an opposite purpose. It was motivated to bring them to him. And if he had to send them to Babylon to get them to turn their hearts to him, then he did it. Because that was his great desire. People, God, you know, I say often that we don't need to view salvation as a fire escape from hell. I want to tell you something. God doesn't view our salvation as a fire escape from hell. That's not the only reason that he saved us. Shouldn't be the only reason we get saved. And it's certainly not the only reason he saved us. He views salvation as reconciliation with the people that he created for fellowship, for his pleasure. And when we're lost in sin, we cannot fellowship with him. When we're lost in sin, we can't bring him pleasure. So salvation, my salvation, your salvation, as God sees it, is more than just, oh boy, I'm glad they don't have to go to hell. He sees it as far more than that. Oh boy, that human being and has an eternal soul is reconciled to me. For fellowship. Webster's, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, to wit, to understand that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. You go to Webster's 1828, the definition of reconcile is to restore to friendship or favor after estrangement. And we are born into this world estranged from God. It took the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus to bring us back into friendship and favor with Him. And that's what God sees. That's how He sees our salvation. It's more than just, oh boy, that child, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl doesn't have to spend eternity in hell. Now they're back in. They're friends. I have a relationship with them again. Webster went on to say this about reconciliation. He said, reconciliation and friendship with God really form the basis of true enjoyment. And that makes all the sense in the world when you remember that Revelation 4:11 says that we were created for His pleasure. I will experience, you will experience the fullest fullness of joy when we are fulfilling the purpose for which we were created. And that was to bring pleasure to Him. And it takes reconciliation to get that done. More than anything, God desires to be close to the people He loves. He loves you. He loves me. That means He wants to be close to you, close to me. I think he longs for it more than you and I long for it. He desires it. And when necessary, God will use unpleasant circumstances to get our attention. And the end result of that is for peace in our lives, peace in our relationship with Him. It's not intended for evil. And that's what Jeremiah prophesied years before they went into captivity. You're going to be in captivity 70 years, but guess what? I'm going to come visit you because you're my people. And I want you to be close to me, and I want you to seek me. And if you seek me, when you seek me, I will be found of you. I will respond. That's true today, people. That's true today. God always responds to His child that seeks Him. Draw nigh to God, and what? He'll run the other direction. He'll play a game of hide and seek. No, draw nigh to God, and He will what? Draw nigh to you. He said, you're going to seek me. You know, after that 70 years, you're going to get a belly full of lockdown. You're going to get a belly full. And you're going to seek me, and when you seek me, I will be found of you, and our relationship will be, it'll be a peaceful, wonderful relationship. So, you know, God could foresee how the captivity would be used in the hearts of His people. They would seek for Him with all of their heart. He would be found of them. God would not play hide and seek with them, and He would respond when they began to seek Him. So I'm just wondering, during the lockdown, you know, maybe you found yourself not just desiring church, but God Himself. It went beyond church. It went beyond fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ here to really a strong desire for fellowship with God. There was a longing for Him. There was a desire to draw close to Him. And you know what, people, regardless of what it may have looked like to us, God intended to use the lockdown for our greater good. For greater peace in our lives, not evil. And the bottom line reason is because He loves us. And He wants us to be close to Him. That's a wonderful thing. It's a marvelous thing. That God sees our salvation in bigger terms than just a fire escape from hell. It's fellowship. Fellowship with God Almighty. Now, let's go back to Ezra chapter 1. Swing back over there and find that chapter. Ezra chapter 1. So this is a fulfillment of prophecy from the mouth of Jeremiah that God had given many years before the captivity even took place. Now, in verses 2, 3, and 4, you know what? I don't think I'll read all of these verses, but Cyrus basically says, you know what? It's time for you to do one of two things. It's time for you to either go back to Jerusalem, or if you decide not to go back, you give so the others can go back. So there really is no middle ground. You're either going to go, or you're going to make it possible for those who want to go, all right? And you can read that there for yourself in verses 2, 3, and 4. So God uses Cyrus to make this decree. And again, a Gentile king, he wasn't such a holy man, a God-conscious man necessarily, but there was something in Cyrus's heart that God used to make the decree that would fulfill the prophecy of Jeremiah. Now, I don't know about President Trump's spiritual condition. Some who have crossed paths with him believe he indeed may be a saved man. He was definitely a madman last night. And after about 20 minutes, that's all I could handle. That's it. I could not take it. Oh my gracious. He was, that reminded me of two schoolboys in the schoolyard. It was what it was. I only lasted about 20 minutes, we think. But anyway, in spite of everything I don't like about him, I do believe there's something in his heart that God can use and has already used to help our country to accomplish God's plan. I hope it's God's plan for him to have 4 more years. I really do. And we need to do our part. Enough said about that. Verses 5 through 11, you've got here where, you know, the decree was given. So, okay, so some Jews are going to return and the other Jews are going to give. So they give gold, they give silver, they give beasts, they give animals. Cyrus went, he got all the vessels that had been stolen by Nebuchadnezzar from the temple in Jerusalem and brought them to Babylon. He got all those vessels, gathered them all up and said to the Jewish people, take them all back. So God's really doing the work. Then when a Gentile king gets rid of gold and silver, of course they were Jews, so there you go. I mean, I don't know how it is, but they gave cha-ching. So it's all going back to Jerusalem, okay? Chapter 2, look at verse 64 and 65. Chapter 2, verse 64 and 65. Toward the end of the chapter. The whole congregation together was 42,303. 42,360. Beside their servants and their maids, of whom there were 7,337. So now we're getting close to 50,000, right? And 337, and there were among them 200 singing men and singing women. So we got about 50,000 people going back from Babylon to Jerusalem. Some people say it was approximately 900 miles. I'm not sure. By foot in those days. That's a lot of people to move 900 miles. Okay, so they're going to go back. Now, in the course of, you know, not all of them taken into captivity returned. In the course of 70 years, some of those who were taken into captivity died there. Others didn't return. We have no chapter and verse that gives any of the reasons that some did not return. We can only speculate. Safe speculation, some Jews might have been too old to return. Just couldn't stand the trip. It had been 70 years since the destruction of Jerusalem. There had been many who would have been unable to endure the journey. The same might have been true for families with young children. Those that were sick or disabled just couldn't do it physically. I think that's reasonable. Some of the Jews probably refused to move due to the comforts of Babylon. Pretty beautiful place. Some of them had been born in Babylon. That's all they'd ever known. They knew nothing else. Some of the Jews had attained to significant status government-wise during the reign of Cyrus. They were comfortable. They were just pretty comfortable right there in Babylon. Really wasn't where God wanted them, but that's where they lived. Maybe another reason some Jews would not have returned to Jerusalem was a concern for personal safety. You know, the road to Jerusalem, the land of Judea itself, full of danger and peril. The group that Ezra led back, there were two or three different groups that went back. The group that Ezra led back from Babylon to Jerusalem before they started, he stopped and he said, we're going to fast and pray for safety. They fasted and prayed for safety, and God answered their prayer. And they actually made it quicker than what they thought they would. It was a lot quicker. Unfortunately, some Jews were living in disobedience to God. And you know what? There was nothing burning in their heart to go back. Nothing. This is different from those who were too old, different from those who might have been sick, different from those who were handicapped, different from those mothers with twin little babies, different from those who thought, man, goodness, you know, it's just, I'm concerned about my person. This is, I'm not interested. And maybe another reason some of the Jews elected not to return was the amount of work it would take to reestablish the nation. Jerusalem was going to have to be rebuilt. The walls, the city. People, I've said before, you got to put yourself in this context. If a house in this town sits empty for 3 or 4 months during the summer and nobody tends to it, nobody's been tending to the city for 70 years. You think about the broken down condition of that place. Okay. So what do I go through all that for? Well, not all people in our churches have returned to services. Some of the elderly would not be wise for them to return now. They rightly have concern for their personal safety, their health. I get it. Many of those folks have a spirit that wants to return, but they're just staying home for now. I talk to them, and it blesses me when they say, thank you for the CDs. Thank you. We send CDs to all the elderly, free of charge, that do not have the internet. And when they say to me, thank you for the CDs, I like that message, I like that, I like that speaker, thank you, thank you, thank you. That tells me something about their heart. Some people got comfortable not coming to services. Like the Jews who got comfortable living in Babylon. Got comfortable not participating in church events. And unfortunately, some are living in disobedience to God. I've been to some homes of people that say, well, we just don't go anywhere. Pull in the driveway and they're leaving. When I stopped to visit them, I didn't plan that. I think God just does that. I mean, we don't go anywhere. We don't go anywhere. Nope. Where are you going? Well, I didn't go for that purpose. It just happened that way. Some are living in disobedience to God. They don't see the need to return to church. Their true allegiance is on display. It's sad, you know, when you are staying away from crowds because you're concerned about COVID, but you go to a movie theater, that doesn't equate. I'm just telling you. And by the way, it's not just here. It's everywhere. I just think it's interesting. Not all Jews returned to their homeland. For different reasons, I'm sure, but not all went back. You'd have thought all of them would have been anxious to go. Now, for those of us who were anxious to return to church, and we did, we could, and we did, a couple of things, okay, that they did that I want to point out to you. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak and his brethren, the priests of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. So what did they do? They rebuilt the altar. They rebuilt the altar. Now, people, this is the brazen altar that would have been in the courtyard of the tabernacle, the courtyard of the temple. This is the altar outside of the tabernacle proper. This is the one in the courtyard. This is where the burnt offerings were offered. The burnt offering was for sin. The burnt offering was for atonement. So they started their corporate worship. When they returned from lockdown, the first thing they did was deal with sin. And this is where our relationship with God begins to get fixed as well. During the lockdown, everything was out of the norm schedule-wise. How did that go for you? Just be honest with yourself. Was there a relaxation in some area or areas as far as sin is concerned? Did you have more time to get on the internet and got in trouble? Did you get too loose with the television? Did you get too loose with the internet? Was it easy to tune out the live streamed preaching? I missed one service on a Wednesday night when Joyce and I went to see her dad back when he had been in the hospital. Brother Netterville preached and we watched it on live stream. I mean, I'm sitting in a recliner. Everything I said you shouldn't do, I did. You got a glass of water, you know, and I'm just sitting there. And all this stuff is in the room where we're watching the service. They're in the other room watching Brother Cranston, And we're in there watching our service, But where did they get that picture? Oh, yeah. Let's be honest. And that went on for 8 Sundays. And how many Wednesdays? You know what that does, folks? It takes a toll on you. Did you and your spouse get out of sorts with each other? I'm so glad to be back in church. Okay, I am too. But we can't sweep those things under the rug. If we slipped, if we loosened up, those things got to be dealt with in our hearts. And thank God we don't have to bring an animal to an altar out here in the parking lot and skin the animal and slice his throat and catch the blood and put some on the burn. We don't have to do that, but we should be specific in our prayer to God and ask Him to cleanse us, ask Him to wash us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm not just shooting from the hip tonight. I've talked with people that would not betray their confidence, that it wasn't good spiritually. I've seen members of this church in private bow their head and weep. Ask God, please, I'm sorry, forgive me. And weep. And that's good. These Jews got back from 70 years. I don't know how long. Maybe some of them had been there all 70 years, maybe. I don't know. Several of them had been there a bunch of years. They get back, and the first thing they deal with is that they go to the first thing they did was rebuild this altar so they could offer a burnt offering. That's where they started. And aren't you glad that we just simply have to obey 1 John 1:9. He is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. So they rebuilt the altar. Now look at verse 4. Notice the second thing they did. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles. Look at the next phrase. As it is written. You find that back in verse 2. As it is written in the law of Moses. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. Duty. You know what they did? They rebuilt the altar. Number 2, they returned to their duties. They returned to their duties. They had specific duties that were to be observed and kept daily, written in the law of Moses, some less often than daily. There was a purpose and design for the keeping of all these customs, all these duties. They were not just designed to kill time for a Jewish person. They were created by God to help that Jew stay close to Him, to help that Jew seek Him. They returned to the Feast of Tabernacles. You remember what that was? That was when the Jews were to build those little booths out of willow branches and palm branches, and they were to live in those booths for 7 days from Sabbath to Sabbath, and they were to sit in those booths and remember how God delivered their forefathers from the bondage of Egypt. You know what that's like doing? That's like crawling into a house for 7 days or your room or your closet and not leaving, and the whole time you're there praising God for your salvation. That's what that's like. That's what the picture is. Was that designed just to kill time? They had fields. They had herds. They had flocks. They had markets. It was designed to keep their heart. You seek me and I'll be found of you. You come after me and I'll come running to you. You want to know why? Because I want to be close to you. And I want you close to me. Today, there are specific duties and responsibilities and exercises for a child of God. We could use the word customs if you want to, which if we adhere to, will help keep us close to God. And if you stray from those duties and customs, you know, okay, this is my point tonight. We're back to church, but are we back to God? Are you with me? It's a fair question, right? Are we back to God? Because we got out of our schedule, out of the structure of what we were used to, those things that we just kind of, you know. And this is not a dirty word, folks. Habit. It's a good word. Good habits have good consequences. There are specific duties and responsibilities, exercises that are built into what is written in God's Word. Help keep us close to Him. I'm not going to elaborate reading the Bible, praying, reaching out to others. But you know, if you sang in the choir, you should sing in the choir when it starts up. If you served in the nursery, you should go back there. What were your duties? Helping in a Sunday school class? They should still be your duties, folks. All those things are designed to create in us a desire to be close to God. And some of those things were shut off and done away with for 8 weeks, longer than that. And I'm just saying, you know, when they returned from lockdown, they rebuilt the altar and they returned to their duties. So it's, for you and me, it's, yeah, coming to church is a duty, but it's more than that. It's more than that. It's returning to those things that don't just bring us to church. It's returning to those things that keep us close to God. Because that's what He really wants. That's what He wants more than anything. I'm going to come visit you. I'm going to come visit you. And you're going to seek me. And I'm going to be found of you. And it's going to be peace. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll help us. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Help us to face reality if we need to. Help us to deal with the things that your Spirit points out to us, puts His finger on. And Lord, be bold enough to make the changes necessary to be close to you. God, I am kind of caught up right now because I've prepared this message. I'm just caught up with, you don't look at salvation as a fire escape from hell. You look at it as reconciliation. We are brought back into your favor and to friendship with you from our estrangement. What a blessed and holy thing. Thank you for that. So, Lord, don't just help us not to just be satisfied with coming to church. Back to church. Help us to come back to you. And if we slipped, help us to be bold enough to face it and deal with it. And the end result is peace. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.